Fawzia Koofi has been a deputy speaker of Afghanistan's parliament, a first.
She's the first woman in her political family to rise to power, and now she's being talked about as potentially Afghanistan's first woman president.
None of this could have been foreseen on the day of her birth.
Fawzia Koofi was among the last of 23 children born to the seven wives of her father. He served in Afghanistan's parliament for many years, beginning back when Afghanistan still had a king.
Though daughters weren't valued, only sons counted. In the remote province of Badakhshan, the young Fawzia's life was comfortable, charmed even. It was a place of rushing rivers, beautiful mountain peaks, a home with a garden shaded by a black cherry tree. Then her father was killed, trying to broker peace between the Mujahideen and the Soviet-backed Afghan government.
I remember many of the community elders telling us that they thought on that day the sky has come down. It's like it's an empty world.
Barely 3 years old, Fawzia Koofi suddenly faced a life of hardship, but also freedom that her father would never have allowed. She's now out with a memoir, The Favored Daughter, One Woman's Fight to Lead Afghanistan into the Future. It begins, "The day I was born, I was supposed to die." Your mother left you to die.
Yes, you know, to give birth to a girl in Afghanistan is, and especially when you don't have a son, having more girls means your life is not completed. That's how it's regarded in Afghanistan. You have to have a son to complete your life. But my mother was not happy because my father just married somebody, a very young wife. So my mother wanted to basically gain the love of my father or regain the love of my father by having a son. And when I was born, they put me out in the sun. And finally, they realized that I'm about to die. I'm crying. So my mother, this was the time my mother realized that I'm about to die. So she held me. She always was telling me the story. But I think she gave me a good reason. She said I didn't want to have another girl to suffer as much as I suffered.
But it's interesting that I wonder if that bond she forged with you at that moment was one of the things that allowed her to encourage you so much when you wanted to do something that really nobody was doing. You know, you're in a province that's pretty far away, and you wanted to go to school, and your mother was behind that.
That's true. My mother was always proud of that. She will always tell me that you will become something in the future. You know, my mother will always describe my childhood as a little red mouse.
Because you were so tiny at birth and then terribly sunburned. So you sort of were a little red mouse.
So I'm sure she would have been proud to see the little red mouse is now grown up. And I think her laugh gave me the strength to move forward.
Mm. During Afghanistan's civil war, back in the early 90s, and this is Mujahideen fighting each other for power in Kabul, and basically day after day of rockets and snipers and people dying, you managed to get to school. And your mother was always afraid you wouldn't come home.
Mm-hmm. My mother was afraid, like many mothers in that situation would have been afraid. So she will come out of the apartment when I come back from school late because there was no transportation. So it took me a while to walk. My mother will come out of the apartment with her burqa and tell me, if the class or school makes you president, I don't want you to be president. I want you to be alive.
President of the country.
That's what she said. I don't want you to become president. I want you to be alive first. But the thing is that even with all of that rocket and snipers and everything, still women and girls could go to school. In Taliban regime, completely opposite. Taliban basically stopped women and stopped me from going to school. I could have been a medical doctor now. I could see in front of my eyes that Afghanistan talent and capacity, 55% of the society, which is women, are deprived of all this progress. And that was a disaster for the country's future. And that's what Taliban did.
When the Taliban were driven out in 2001, it would be women like you who stood to gain the most from that. In fact, you have gone on to, in a way, bring back the Koofi political dynasty.
That's true.
What do you make, then, of the talk, which is now quite loud, about negotiating with the Taliban? That seems to be the presumption that the future will include the Taliban in government.
It's a very important question. we need to talk because we are living in 21st century and dialogue and engagement politically is a solution. I know in your capitals, in your countries, among your public, issues like women rights, human rights is not the main reason you are in Afghanistan, but this is one of the achievements you have invested blood and treasure for. So I think for that reason, we need to talk. We need to go to a political settlement. But there is different definition of political settlement. What President Karzai would like to have is basically bring Taliban back, share power with them. I don't think Taliban would like to share power. Taliban have their own condition. They want Islamic rights of women, and living under Taliban as a Muslim woman, I know what does that mean. I think the office in Qatar is a step forward in terms
and
of...
And when you speak of Qatar, that is where the Taliban is now setting up an office, an actually official place to go and give them a certain amount of credibility as a political entity.
But we need to be careful in terms of not giving Taliban another political identity, because not many people in the world agree that Taliban are a political group. Many people believe that they are a terrorist group. So why should we give them an identity by having an office and increasing their access to Gulf state resources, to more money?
You know, Fawzia Koofi, you begin this memoir with something very touching. Each chapter begins with a letter to your daughters. And the letter is often to do with the fact that you might not see them again as you go out into the world as a woman and a politician. How much danger are you in?
I speak my mind because I would like to make a small contribution to my people's life. And one day when I wanted to go to my constituents, I received this news that my helicopter might be attacked by Taliban. So I, you know, we have traditionally this tradition to put farewell letters. And I wrote this first letter to my daughter saying that in case I don't come back, these are the values that they should follow. One of that is to stand on their values. And if that takes their life, it's worth it because, you know, at the end of the day, you pave the way for others to come forward.
Are you, the presidential election in Afghanistan is in 2 years. Are you running for president?
I hope so, because I think if we don't run, then people like the corrupt politician who don't have a vision for the country will always be leading Afghanistan. For the past 30, 40 years, they're the same politician, the fathers and the sons and the relatives and the brothers and etc. They're ruling the country. So we need to come forward, at least raise our voices.
Fawzia Koofi, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Fawzia Koofi is a member of Afghanistan's parliament. Her memoir is called The Favored Daughter.